Do you want to put up 1 Peter 5:8 for me, Cain, please? Okay. It says this: be alert and sober-minded, or of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. Hebrews 11:32 and 33. It's an interesting, this is, those of you who know the Bible, Hebrews 11 is what we call the passage of faith. It gives a long list of people. And in the middle of it, he says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. That's a veiled reference to a man I want to talk about this morning. The title of my message this morning is How to Be a Lion King. How to Be a Lion... I don't know if any of you have been to the musical. How to Be a Lion King. The veiled reference in Hebrews 11 is to a man called Daniel. We're going to talk a little bit about Daniel in the lion's den. It's interesting, Mark and I were talking some time ago to some people who are relatively new believers, and not many of them had heard of the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And those of us who have been on the road some years need to remember, people coming in from unchurched backgrounds don't actually know some of the stuff we know. And so I'm going to illustrate this morning how to be a lion king from the story of Daniel. The book of Daniel is what's called a major prophet. There are two divisions in the books of prophets: major prophets and minor prophets. The minor prophets are 12 books. Really, the only difference is the amount of words generally and the length of the books. They're called major prophets because the books are longer and bigger. It's that simple. Daniel's split into two sets. It's 12 chapters, Daniel. Chapters 1 to 6 are stories about Daniel and his three friends in the courts of various kings of Persia. Some of you will remember Belshazzar and the writing on the wall, Darius, Xerxes. And Daniel 7 to 12 are actually prophecies about the future. And for those of you, I've said it before, but I'll repeat it, and I'm sure many will want to talk to me afterwards. One phrase that I'll get in trouble for, but never mind. If you want to understand the book of Revelation, you really need to read Daniel 7 to 12. It's hard to understand the book of Revelation unless you've read those end chapters of Daniel and understand them. So the forerunner to Revelation is Daniel 7 to 12. And some of you think, oh, I hope he's going to talk about that this morning. No, I'm not. Okay. So, Daniel in the lion's den. Do you want to play that clip for me? I'm a very simple man. This helps my faith. This is how it goes. Thank you, Cain.
Except King Darius, will be thrown into the lion's den. King Darius signed this law, and once a Babylonian king signed the law, it could not be overruled. When Daniel learned of this law, he went home and knelt down, as he always did, to pray in his room with the windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he always had done, giving thanks to God and asking for his help. The officials went to Daniel's house and found him praying.
That kid!
They went to the king and reminded him of the law.
I remember.
Well.
Then they said that Daniel had been found praying to God three times a day.
What?
When the king heard this, he was very upset.
Good.
And he spent the whole day trying to think of a way to save Daniel.
Wait, what?
By that evening, the court officials came back to the king and reminded him that no law signed by the Babylonian king could be overruled. So at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. The king said to him, "May your God, who you serve faithfully, rescue you." Then the lion's den was sealed shut with Daniel inside. The king spent the night fasting and couldn't sleep. Then very early in the morning, the king hurried to the lion's den. He called out,
"Hey, Daniel!
Was your God able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "Long live the king! My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be taken out of the lion's den. Then the king ordered the men who had schemed against Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den as punishment. Daniel was safe. There was not a scratch on him, for he trusted in God.
Okay. For those of you who want the reference, Daniel chapter 6. That's in. I'll be going in and out of Daniel 6. The whole story's in Daniel 6. I felt it was too long to read, so hopefully that's one way of doing it. Incidentally, just in my head, do you know what the word Daniel means? You know what your name means? Anyone know what it means? God is our judge. Somebody shouting, that's correct. Well done. El in the Hebrew, El, simply for God. El Elyon, God Most High. El Shaddai, God the Almighty. So El Michael, El, it's God. Daniel, Raphael, simple as that. How can we be a Lion King? How can we overcome difficulties? Well, first thing, our good conduct is watched by others. Don't know if you realise that, but this is part of Daniel 6:5 says, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." In other words, we've been watching him, and this guy, in a sense, doesn't put a foot wrong. We're watching his behaviour, and his conduct's very good. Don't know if you're aware of it, many of us, most of us I would imagine, mix with people who are not Christians, and many of them are looking at us to see how we behave and how we react. Part of our vision statement, isn't it? That we will demonstrate God to our community through our actions, reactions, and conversations. And sometimes we demonstrate God badly. Don't know if you've heard the phrase, some people say, "I'm not going to church, full of hypocrites." Somebody said that to me recently. We've got to be careful that what we do impacts people. In order to be a Lion King, our conduct's got to be good, hasn't it? So people can say, "Oh, that's a different response. I expected you to bite the head off, but you're very gentle and very gracious." Well, actually, God's helping me to do that. That should be the response, shouldn't it? God's at work in us. We've said before, we want to be here, we're Pentecostal in nature. We want to be balanced people, gifts and fruit, both of the Spirit. If you want to be a Lion King, you must be consistent in your attitude and daily living. People want to see, how do you cope when things hit you. I've said it before, and I was thinking about this today. When I'm up here, I always feel, you can't change your life experience, so the only illustrations I've got are from my own life. When I was made redundant and was going through that process, I would have advised by people, the legal people and the union, that actually some of what they're doing was not particularly, inverted commas, lawful, or there was a way I could have appealed against it, and I just said, I'm okay. And they said, well, we don't quite understand your attitude. And I said, I'm not defined by my work role. I'm bigger than that. I've got another life apart from my work. You know, your income's gone. Your job security, your identity. And in I didn't say it, but in a sense what I was saying was, my identity is in God. I'm not defined by my work role. Don't push me into a box that says, that's it. You're finished now. You're made redundant. And our attitude has got to be that. And it actually made quite an impact. That we're quite sort of, we don't understand how you're reacting like that. And I'm saying, well, there's something bigger at work. We need to be in our attitude towards others if we want to be a Lion King. Our good conduct is watched by others. It may take months, in some ways it takes years when you're working with people, and finally somebody comes up and said, I've been watching, can I just ask you, when they start talking to you about stuff, where did that come from? It comes from your conduct, being watched by them. Okay? Secondly, hold on to your seats. We are not immune from plots and lies against us. Did you know that? Some of you, just saying as it comes to me, some of you are in situations at work where people have said naughty things about you that are not true. And you're struggling with it. And you're going, what am I going to do? You need to be prepared for it because it happens. I don't want to be unkind, but sometimes people are not nice. Some of what they say is not nice. What's the old thing used to phrase? What was it? Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me. But actually, some of what people says does hurt us. Hurts our feelings and it stirs up emotions and we get all uptight. And I think the next time she says that, I'm going to have her. Don't we? Well, just me. Just me. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Did you know the devil's scheming and plotting to find out how he can pull us down and knock us down? So, in a sense, you need to be aware of that. Actually, there's going to be stuff that comes against you. Sometimes, some of it's not true. It's hard, isn't it, when somebody says something about you and it isn't true. I went through quite a painful divorce, going to court, talking about my relationship and about my children, and some of what was said wasn't true, and that was quite hard for me to deal with. It's quite hard when people say stuff and you think, but I'm not that man they're describing. That's not how I am. And the tendency often, isn't it, is to fight back. But actually, God wants to do something different. See, Daniel 6:3. The king had in mind to put Daniel in charge of the whole kingdom. Now Daniel so distinguished himself amongst the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. I'm sure those already in power were really chuffed about that. I've been here years and this new upstart comes, he's going to be in charge of the kingdom. How can I make sure that doesn't happen and feather my own nest? That's exactly what they were thinking. How can we get in front of Daniel in the pecking order? How can we do that? His enemies were not that keen on his promotion. Verse 7 says, all have agreed that the king should issue an edict or a decree. That's interesting, seeing Daniel was one of the highly position people in the kingdom. He was one of the three administrators over everyone. I'm not sure Daniel hadn't been asked what he thought about an edict. But everyone, according to them, had agreed. Have you heard that phrase when you've been at work or school or college? Everyone's doing it. The answer is, I'm not. Everyone's doing it. Join in. It'll be okay. Everyone says. No, they don't. I used to get in trouble for challenging stuff like that. Everyone says it. What do you mean, everyone? Have you surveyed the whole of the UK? You can't say that. Well, you've just told me everyone. Everyone, the whole world. We have these statements, don't we? And we just let them go. Perhaps somebody at work is jealous of your progress. Happens. You get passed over for stuff. Maybe lies are spread about you. Might be. In a family situation. I know families who for years have fallen out about misunderstandings or something that was said. I'm not speaking to her again after what she said about me. Peter says, doesn't he? Be alert. Be aware. Don't, please hear me right here. Don't become so cynical. You're always looking for someone to do something naughty. But actually, there is negative stuff about. And we need to be prepared for it. Otherwise, it's going to blow you off your feet and you don't get back up. I'm looking at Andrew now. What is it Rocky says? Adrian. Yeah, Adrian. Not that. It's not how often you hit, it's how you get back up. It's how you get back up after stuff hits you. We're told to stand against the devil's schemes. In that illustration of Ephesians 6, the shoes are actually got spikes in them so you can stand your ground. They're digging the ground. The Roman soldiers in the shields together made sure they, if you ever watch it, if you watch Russell Crowe in Gladiator or whatever, they're always going forward. They're never going back. They're always going forward. We stand our ground. If you want to be a Lion King, you must be already aware that not everybody has your best interest at heart. Just the way it is. Paul says, the prince of the power of the air, the devil, is scheming, plotting to undo us. Make sure you don't give him room. What is it? I think the old AV sort of says, don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a place where he can climb in and start to get into your life. In other words, is it well with your soul? That's what I've been singing, isn't it? Is it well with your soul? If it isn't, there's a simple solution. God, I'm sorry, help me. Easiest prayer ever, help. Okay, third thing. I think this is an important one. Don't change your habits because of pressure. You get in a situation where things are not going so well and you start trying to work it out yourself or do something you're not used to doing, you respond in a negative way. Can I just say in passing, if you're involved in social media, be very careful about responding instantly when people put something on Facebook or you get sent a message. It's not a good idea. Sit back and think about it before you respond in anger. Look at that, what he said about me. The decree was passed that nobody was to pray to anyone but the king for an entire month. The smart thing was to stop praying, wasn't it? Oof, I'm not going to get involved in that. Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. The key wording is at the end of the verse, just as he had done before. He had a pattern of praying, and he didn't change or deviate from his pattern. Even though the pressure was on, that actually, you know, your life's at risk here. 30 days. It's not uncommon if you read stories in history about the Egyptians or the Romans where emperors, kings were deified and classed as gods. Nice thing, you know, well, make a decree, king. Only you can be prayed to. You're so great, everyone will speak your name. Must have been nice for his vanity. But Daniel stuck to his pattern of behaviour. When the pressure's on, don't drop your pattern. And maybe I ought to step back and ask you a question before that. Have you got a pattern? Have you got a set routine where this is what you do when trouble hits you? They say, don't they, that you should have... We're supposed to have Michael's here. I'm getting trouble now. We're supposed to have written down what we have to do if a fire happens in our house and how we would escape. We've got to have a plan of action, haven't we? These days, everything you do, health and safety, risk assessments, you're supposed to write down. What's your pattern when stuff hits you in your Christian life? What's your pattern? What do you go to? Have you got a pattern? Daniel had a pattern and he said, I'm just going to do what I always did. That's what I'm going to do. See, if you have been singing this morning, I trust in you. I trust your name. If you trust in God, your pattern is you go to God and say, God, I'm coming to you with this. You might say, as I often do, I don't quite understand why this has come my way. You know, I feel sorry for that. Why me, Lord? You know, why did you choose Wendy? Why me? You might, but actually you've got to say, God, I don't understand it. I don't really understand, but I'm giving it to you. And ultimately, you're in charge. So we've got to start there. He's actually the master of everything. All things are in his hands. Time. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, are we? It's in his hands. What was it when Lisa was asking for the promises? Some of you were quoting songs. That's all right. I guess if the theology's all right. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Those that trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They shall never be shaken. It is God who trains my hands for battle. With your help, I can advance against a troop. I can leap over a wall. I'm quoting you from the Psalms. There are some of the promises I know about that God has said. I'll give you a lot more. But when it gets tough, we need to go back to the Word and we need to go back to God and go, I'm looking to you, Lord. David says a lovely phrase in the Psalms, let me not be ashamed because of my enemies. We don't want to be ashamed, do we? We want God to intervene. Romans 12 tells us not to conform to the patterns of this world. If we're not careful, how we react is the same as everybody else. We should be different. We're Christians. We've got God on our side. Paul says in Romans, doesn't he? You all know it. If God be for us, we just lose that bit when we're hit trouble, don't we? Daniel didn't change his habit because of pressure. If you want to be a Lion King, you must form patterns of positive behaviour so that when trouble comes, you have a routine that helps and supports you. Doesn't necessarily mean it will all change overnight. If you're thinking that, I don't know where your theology is because it isn't biblical. Sometimes it happens, but sometimes it doesn't. Poor old Paul had a thorn in the flesh that he had to put up with and said, the Lord said, don't worry, just keep on. My grace is sufficient for you. Yeah, but I wanted it to go away because I prayed. In fact, I spent a day fasting, so it should go away now. Spent 2 days. It doesn't work like that. It's up to God. He's in charge and he knows best. It's interesting, isn't it? I was listening to somebody when we were at conference the other day, and I've done it myself, where you give God ultimatums. You must do this by the end of, or else. Hello, we're talking to the creator of the universe, God Almighty, and we're giving him orders. Hello, wake up. He doesn't work to our agenda, he works to his agenda. He's in charge. He's gracious sometimes and does that, doesn't he? Don't change your habits because of pressure. Okay, number 4. Are we okay so far? Still awake? That's a good start. Often non-Christians wait to see if God intervenes. Interesting, isn't it? There's a number of people who don't believe in God. Sometimes it's the classic one. People will say to me, where are you going? I'm going to church. Oh, say one for me. They don't believe in God, but they want me to pray for them. How does that work? You're going where? You got a church? Yeah, say one for me. Oh, hang on. What's happening there? They're looking to see if God is working in your life. And we're saying to people, or you should be saying to people, I'll pray about that. I've been praying about this. Nothing to be ashamed of. It's our lifestyle. If you're ashamed of it, you need to have a rethink. It's part of who we are. We should be honoured to be called by his name. It says in Antioch, they were first called Christians. We bear the name of Christ. The king said to Daniel, Daniel 6:16, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. I'm a heathen king and I'm not sure where I'm at. I didn't really want to do this, but you're in a mess. But maybe your God might break in. Who knows? In the language of today, you might get lucky, Daniel. As I did say the other week when I was challenged from the floor, we don't believe in luck. We believe in God, a sovereign. He's in charge of everything. He knows the beginning from the end. Daniel 6:19-20. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? He's wanting to know, does it actually work? This guy's praying to an unknown God. Does it work? I tell you what, there are people we work alongside looking to see if it works. You do what? You pray. How does that work? What's this thing you have? A prayer chain? What's all that about? All that's about is we pray and God actually answers. And this is how it works. What a thing. They're looking to see the invisible. We need to make him visible, don't we? Through our prayer. Often, non-Christians are waiting to see if God intervenes. They're looking over our shoulders to understand this strange thing we call prayer and to see how it works. We've got to be honest. It's really weird for people who are not Christians to understand this thing we call prayer. What language you put it in, it's a conversation. I'm having a conversation with God. Even that's, whoa. You talk to God? Yeah, on a regular basis. Guess what? He talks back. The king is a heathen king. Not understanding what's going on. Here's one. I want to underline this. If you want to be a lion king, you must remember to give God credit. So you've been saying at work, I've been praying about this. God answers, you need to go back and say, and that's why. Oh, you seem better, you seem brighter. How's that happened? Well, I prayed and God's done something. You might say, oh, the staff will fall over. Well, so what? But we need to understand if we're saying we're actually looking to God to do stuff, when he does it, we need to give him credit. That's in our church language, we talk about testimony. Almost like being in court. You've got to testify. Give evidence. Actually say, yes, God has done. We need to do it more here. That prayer wall, I want to see more on the right than on the left. Our prayer requests on the left, our answers on the right. And we need to celebrate together, don't we, when God answers our prayer. I don't need to convince you about that, Lynn, do I? But it's what we need to do. And can I say, not just in here, outside. People need to know. We have people, non-Christian people who we mix with, sometimes will say, yeah, I'm happy for you to pray. That's what we should do. quite happily, I will take your request. We have a prayer team. I'll happily take your request. I'll let you know how we go on. Please, can you let me know if anything happens? Because actually, sometimes God breaks in to the unsaved world to show his power and his ability. We were learning at conference last year, amongst the Muslims, there is a massive move of the supernatural. God's breaking in to say, hey, I'm here. You didn't think I was real, did you? Guess what? Hello? We need to do it more. Can I encourage you, and I challenge myself here, be a bit bolder with your faith. Be a bit bolder with your expressions of prayer and, if you like, saying about your pattern. If your pattern is, that's what I normally do. We're a Christian. We pray to God. We expect to see answers. Tell you what, if you don't expect to see answers, give it up. No point in doing it, is there really? If he ain't there, I love that one in 1 Kings 18 where we get our name on from Carmel. Almost, Elijah says, almost, maybe your God's gone on holiday. Shout a bit louder. Go on, have another go. Have another couple of hours. Give it your best. Are you finished yet? Give us a shout when you're finished. I'll call on my God. We'll see who wins. And fire comes down from heaven and burns the stuff that he's put water on. Thanks, God. That showed him, didn't it? It's time for God to break in and show some of our non-Christian friends what we're on about. It's time for people at work to see. Often non-Christians wait to see if God intervenes. If you want to be a Lion King, you must give God credit. Lastly, are we okay with this? God can break in and show the truth. If you've been accused of stuff, if people have said lies about you, something happened and you're like, how's it going to work? God can break in and show the truth. It's great in Daniel, isn't it? Daniel 6:23. When Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. It's often difficult if we're accused of something even though we're innocent. I thought about this and I thought the only way I can illustrate is from my own life really. I may have shared this illustration before, but it is part of my life. I worked for a number of years in a rehab setting with people who had addiction issues, alcohol, drugs. I used to do a lot of loan working. I'd go in Saturday at 12 and finish on Monday at 12, working on my own. And in that, during that time, a house with 12 residents, people would pay the rent in cash. So often you'd end up with money. And on the Monday, you'd send it to head office because I worked at a satellite house that was away from, it was in Derby. I can't remember what the amount was. I'm like, between £250 and £300 I sent off to head office on Monday. And my boss phoned me up at home after I'd finished my shift on the Monday in the evening. And he said, I've got an issue. I said, what's the issue? He said, the money's gone missing. I'm like, oh dear. So I said, what am I supposed to do? He said, you've got to come into head office and be interviewed. Got to go through a formal procedure where you actually have got to sit down and give account for what you did over that weekend and fill all the forms in, which I did. A couple of days later, not heard anything. So I've got this cloud hanging over me for a couple of weeks. I know I haven't done anything. I know I haven't taken the money. But some of my co-workers are beginning to think, what's going on? And some of the guys in the house are thinking, what's going on? And I'm thinking, God, you've got to do something about this. And lo and behold, it was found miraculously in one of the drawers of the workers at head office. The envelope with all the money in, still. And I'm like, thank you. It's hard. When you're at work and you're thinking, they're thinking I've pinched this money. And I'm still working shifts, carrying on, doing my work, thinking, oh dear. Sometimes God's got to break in and go, I'm in charge. If we don't try and sort it out ourselves and start justifying ourselves, I've never done that, I never touched money, it won't be me. If we're not careful, we're so busy filling the gap and we don't allow God to move at all. So busy defending ourselves. He'll defend us. If you want to be a Lion King, you have got to be patient and allow God to break in, rather than sorting it out in your own strength. Most of us are doers. We want to do something. Sometimes you've got to sit back and let Him do something. And even if it doesn't work out, we've still got to trust Him. There are things I've got in my life, I could list them, but we haven't got time. I don't understand, and I don't really still know what's going on, but I say to God, I leave it with You. You're in charge, I trust You in everything. I'll finish there. Hopefully it's helpful. Let me just reiterate. How to overcome things, how to be a Lion King. Our good conduct is watched by others. We're not immune from plots or lies against us. Don't change your habits because of pressure. Often non-Christians want to see if God intervenes. And lastly, God can break in to show the truth. Thank you for listening.